Back in Philippians today, and I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Philippians 1. These are the same passages that we read last week, and we're going to finish out 1 through 11 today, making it through half of the first chapter almost. Our main focus today will be the ones we didn't get to last week, which would be 3 through 11. Go ahead, and we're going to start in verse 1, reading through verse 11. Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons. I want to stop there for 1 second to remind you, this is written to the church. Everyone in the church of Philippi, and so it also applies to the church today, our church. And so there's much we can learn from this passage. Paul continues on. Grace to you, and peace from God our Father, in the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you, always praying with joy for all of you in my every prayer, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because I have you in my heart, and you are all partners with me in grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and establishment of the gospel. For God is my witness, how deeply I miss all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And I pray this, that your love will keep on growing in knowledge and every kind of discernment, so that you can approve the things that are superior and can be pure and blameless in the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Let's pray for understanding today. Lord, I do pray that you will teach us today, that you will guide every word that is spoken, that you will open our hearts, Holy Spirit, to respond to your leading. Lord, help us to take these passages today and apply them to our lives, to willingly submit to your will. Lord, take away our stubbornness. Take away our forgetfulness. Take away our busyness, that we can at this moment focus on you, seeking to learn together as a church family, seeking to grow together, and then to go out these doors and proclaim together your amazing grace to this world. Guide us today through your word. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to start in verse 3 and 4 today. Like I said, last week we went through verse 1 and verse 2 primarily. We touched on verse 6 as we closed, and so we're not going to touch on that one so much today. But in verse 3 and verse 4, going into verse 5, we're going to stop at 3 and 4 to begin. Paul makes a statement about his love for the church in Philippi. He says, I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you. Every single time that the church of Philippi comes into Paul's mind, he remembers them and thinks about them. He is thankful for them. Carrying on, this remembrance, this thankfulness that Paul has leads to something. It says, always praying with joy for all of you in my every prayer. And so Paul starts out with, in this passage, a heart of thankfulness and joy for the church and Philip. As I read those passages, it struck me. And I was wondering these questions. As I read them, sometimes as I read, questions just pop into my mind of, does this apply to me type questions. And these four questions jumped out to me as I read those two verses. Do we know each other as a church enough to be joyful like Paul? You see, this joy came out of a genuine relationship with each other. We talked about that relationship. We talked about the establishment of the church last week. We're not going to go through that all again. This is a joy that is far beyond just a surface relationship. This is a joy that's far beyond just attending a church service together. Do we know each other enough to have a joy like this? Second question that popped in my head. Are we willing to be known or to know others enough to have this type of joy? A lot of times we are shut off and standoffish and we don't want people to know, or we don't want to know what's going on in people's life to establish this kind of joy. Third question, do I give reason for someone to be thankful about me like the Church of Philippi does? And fourth, how do we get this type of joy for other believers? Verse 5 answers that last question. This type of joy came out of partnership. See, verse 5, it goes on after thanking with all these memories, and you probably have fond memories of the people in this room or of maybe growing up in church and fond memories of what you can grab from maybe your childhood. But as Paul starts out, these memories and this thankfulness leads him to pray with joy for this church. And here's the reason here. It says, because of your partnership in the gospel. And then it goes on and says, from the first day until now. From the first day until now. You see, this is thankfulness and a joy that comes from a past partnership, but it's also a thankfulness and a joy that comes from a present partnership. It's an ongoing partnership for the gospel message. And Paul's thankful for that, and it causes him joy. What's the reality of our memories for each other? As think about this is, when you say and you look around the people around us and sitting in front of us, beside us, behind us, whatever it may be, and people that you, on a weekly basis you shake hands with and you say, hey, how you doing? And they're always good, typically good. And we have these memories. Do they go past, I sat by this person this week? Do they go past, I remember they said hello to me, or I remember they didn't say hello to me, so I'm a little bit aggravated about that. Did they go past that surface to serving? You see, this partnership for the gospel was a serving partnership. And it went from what we had talked about before, last week when we talked about the establishment of the church. So those were the first days when Paul was sharing the gospel with them, to the ongoing partnership that they had with him, that they would actually care for him and send money for him and send people to him to care for him while he was in prison. This partnership continued. And we'll get to some of those passages. Think back to the memories you have of establishing RBF. I wasn't here then, but I'm sure you have fond memories of starting the church family together. Sure, there was probably some headaches. along the way, but there was some great memories. Every time that I walk out here and see the kids playing, there's a whole patio area over here of memories, of stomped concrete pieces of memories that you guys created together as a church. But I was just thinking about some of my fond memories in the last 3 years since being here. The day that we got to buy our house and we got to open up the doors for the first time, and many of you came to our house to help clean, paint, and scrub, and scrape, and whatever it may be. I'm so thankful for that. I remember being in the laundry room and moving shelves around with Derek and hanging them on the wall and just talking and getting to know Derek for the first time. I remember Olivia coming with some kind of broken appendage and she had a cast on, and the kids were wiping down the baseboards and they were willing to do whatever it might have needed to be done. And I remember Barry painting the boys' room for the fourth time, I think. He had painted that same room. And it's like, I remember this room was like gray at one point, and it was green at one point, and it was blue at one point, and now it's gray again. And just the memories of working together as a church family. And to me, those are fond memories. Because that was the very beginning of us being here. Remember the first time we drove into town, and as we drove into town, we saw the garbage place sitting there on the right. And Rachel and I were like, and then we walked through the doors and we got to know you, and it was like, yes, this is where God has us. We knew it. Think about VBS and the transformation we had last year in this very building of mountains all over the stage and the ice cave out there and the time that was spent of people painting and scraping and peeling and doing whatever needed to be done to get that transformation, working hand in hand. The very first Halloween outreach that we had, and we were sweeping out the garage together, and we're joking about it was snowing outside, and you were wearing a hockey jersey. I didn't even know Indiana had a hockey team. I don't know why I remember you were wearing. I don't know. What's wrong with that? Paul came over and helped me sweep out my garage to prep for it, and so just the idea of, okay, we're going to serve the community and get the gospel ministry out to the community. And then it starts snowing on Halloween, and we're like, what in the world are we going to do? No one's coming out of their cars. And so people started going to car doors and knocking on the window, probably freaking people out, but wondering if they'd give them coffee and donuts and just serving together. And when we did the parade and we ran out of flyers and coupons in the first quarter mile because we handed out way too many, way too fast. Scrubbing and scraping candy off the ground because the parade had stomped it into the ground the very same day. Operation Christmas Child, packing and collecting boxes. The walk a mile that got canceled the first year because it was too cold and then was still absolutely freezing the next meeting. South African trip. Teen serve after teen serve after teen serve that you guys have served together. Movie night that got rained out twice, and then we got to do it in the third time. And it was an amazing turnout, and we're so thankful for what God has done. See, these are moments where we come beside each other as partners to minister together. And these are moments that bring us to that joy, that bring us to that thankfulness for each other. But they have to go past moments. You see, Paul here is thankful for an ongoing partnership in the gospel. And when he says this joy and he says these things, I think there's several areas that lead to this real partnership, this joyful partnership. Not just a momentary thing, not just a, I remember what it used to be or how it used to be, but a continual service together. I don't want to focus on those together today. How can we have, at our BF, a joyful partnership? Well, I think it starts in verse 8. And we're skipping down to verse 8. We'll come back to the previous verses in a second. But verse 8 jumped out to me. And the first time I read it, I just wrote down these words. And I've been pondering, what does it mean to have this? In verse 8, Paul writes, "For God is my witness, how deeply I miss all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus." How do we have the affection of Christ Jesus? Well, as we grow in our knowledge of him and understanding of his sacrifice, and that starts to develop that within us because we start to then pass on that knowledge and we start to live out what we understand from God's word. Jesus himself calls us to have this affection. It's a sacrificial affection. It's a serving affection. It's a beneficial affection or love for each other. And in the book of John, Jesus two times talks about this command of loving each other, having this affection for each other that Paul talks about here. And I want to invite you to turn to John 13. It won't be behind me. We're only focusing on the main passage behind me, but John 13, I invite you to turn there. Verse 34 and 35. This is after the time of communion that we just observed, after washing the disciples' feet and seeing that example of service that Christ had. And he had throughout his entire ministry, a sacrificial service, sacrificial love, laying it all aside. He left everything in heaven to come for us here on earth. And Christ gives us these words, verse 34 and verse 35. He says, "I give you a new command, love one another, just as I have loved you, you must love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So who is our example of love? Who is our standard of love? Jesus is. He says, "Just as I have loved you, you must also love one another." If we are to have this joyful partnership, it starts with having the affection that Christ has. It starts with having the love that Christ has. It starts with living out this love that we're called to. The love that was modeled and shown by Christ. Sacrificial love, a serving love, a beneficial love, a redirecting love. Turn over two chapters to chapter 15. Chapter 15, we have this command again, starting in verse 11, reading through verse 17. And this is the passage that we talked about last week, just briefly talking about the transformation from slave to brother to family, but still the fact that we realize who we belong to. So Jesus says this in verse 11 of chapter 15. "I have spoken these things to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete." Talking about that joy, how can we have joyful partnership? Well, it starts with Christ and his words and knowing these words so that we can be complete in that joy. Verse 12, "This is my command, love one another as I have loved you. Not as the world loves, not as your parents love, not as your spouse loves, not as your children love, but love one another as I have loved you." The example, the standard is Christ's love. No one has greater love than this, that someone would lay down his life for his friends. Christ says this just before he goes and is crucified, pointing out how deep and how great his love is. "You are my friends if you do what I command you." I do not call you slaves anymore, because a slave doesn't know what his master is doing. I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you that you should go out and produce fruit, and that your fruit should remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. This is what I command you. Love one another. Go ahead and turn back to Philippians again. If we are to have this joyful partnership, we must have the affection of Christ Jesus that Paul talks about. We must understand his love so that we can pass on his love. We don't get it. We can't hand it out. And so it starts with this affection of Christ. Next, in verse 5 and 7, so we're going back up to where we were before, jumping back to the beginning. We talk about this partnership of the gospel, or in the gospel, in verse 5. We've already read that. It started the first day, and it's continuing on until now. And then in verse 7, it talks about another type of partnership, and it says this: it is right for me to think this way about all of you, because I have you in my heart, and you are all partners with me in grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and establishment of the gospel. There was a common goal that Paul had with the church in Philippi. It was a gospel goal. It was a grace goal. It was a defense and establishment of the gospel goal. And so we have these three things talked about in this verse 5 and this verse 7. You ever been part of a team that didn't have one goal? Or had somebody on your team that only had one goal? Themselves? When Rachel and I first got married, Rachel got approached by a man at our church about coaching a girls' basketball team. And they asked if I would assist her in coaching the girls' basketball team, which I was totally fine with because she knows so much more about basketball than I did. And so, yeah, I'd love to do that. And so Rachel accepted it, and it was a junior high team. And we had 6 girls total on our basketball team. 6 girls. And so we had one sub that we could sub in if they were all there. If they weren't all there, then we had 5, obviously. We didn't have to cancel any games because of lack of players, and so there were several games we played with 5. But in order for this team to actually do anything, to score points, to make it down the floor together, whatever it may be, they had to learn how to work as a team together. And when we first started practicing, there was one or two people in the group that thought they were God's gift to basketball, and they shot a lot and never passed the ball and whatever it may be, and their parents egged them on to do this, and I'm thinking, stop talking, go away. Not from their life, but from the court. Be in their life, just not on the court. And so it was an establishment of, hey, we have one goal here. We have 6 players. If we can't get 6 of you to get along and be one team, then we're a failure. I don't know what's going on. And so we worked on, hey, let's do this together. Pass the ball together. Work together. It's not about one individual. Let's make sure everybody gets the ball and gets a shot. And so we, in the end, didn't win a whole lot of games. I'm not sure we won 1 or 2 games. But we were playing teams that were twice the size of us, 3 times the size of us school-wise. And we had 6 players, and they had 12 players. And we would lose games by 1 to 2 to 3 points every time. And so we were right there. And the only way we were right there is because we had one goal of working together as a team. There were several times where Rachel couldn't make it, and I had to coach by myself. And I was like, why do you do this to me? Schlitz a better coach than me. But it was a blast. And we had a lot of fun doing it. But we had to get people on a common goal. It couldn't be about themselves. And this church here has one goal. A common goal. And that goal is in three different areas, but it all surrounds the gospel. And so we have in verse 7, in verse 5, the partnership in the gospel. And then we have in verse 7, the partnership in grace. And then we have in verse 7 also the defense and establishment of the gospel, all surrounding the gospel ministry. This was an ongoing ministry. This was not just a, hey, let's have an event here and let's have an event here. This is what the church was about, proclaiming the gospel message. That's really what we seek to do here at RBF. Yeah, we have events where we come together and we partner together. And every single week, it is our goal as a church to equip you and to be equipped through our time here at worship, through our time in our life groups, that you will be ready to then go out and pursue this goal of establishing the gospel and defending the gospel in the world all around us so that those around you can come to know Christ through you and through your work. As I read this partnership and grace, I think we are all covered by grace. Those of us that have accepted the hope that is in Christ Jesus alone, we are covered in grace. But for some reason, sometimes we become grace hoarders. We want grace. We love grace. We want to be forgiven for the things that we but we hold on to that forgiveness. And when someone else does something, we don't want to pass on that forgiveness to them. And so we hold on to bitterness instead. And that bitterness causes dissension. And that dissension takes away the joy. And so if we are to be joyful partners, we must, like Paul says here, be partners in grace and passing out grace. We have been given so much and forgiven of so much. We must do the same. It's the only way we can have a joyful partnership. We must be partners in grace as well, handing it out. Ephesians, Paul writes about this grace. In Ephesians 4, if you just turn over a few pages in your Bible, Ephesians 4, 31 through 5, 2, we read this challenge of forgiveness and grace. It starts out with a challenge against bitterness and anger and wrath and shouting and slander and all these things. It says this: all bitterness, anger and wrath, shouting and slander must be removed from you, along with all malice. And not only remove those things, well, there's a pursuit that is given here. And be kind and compassionate to one another. This is the pursuit. Remove all that junk that's you're holding on to, the bitterness, the anger, the wrath, the shouting, the slander. That's got to be removed. The malice, that's got to be removed. Be compassionate. Forgive one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ Jesus. Therefore, be imitators of God as dearly loved children, and walk in love, as the Messiah also loved us and gave himself for us, a sacrificial and fragrant offering to God. There's the example. We have received grace. We then must partner together in giving grace to each other than those around us. That's how we will have this joyful partnership. The goal of the gospel, the goal of grace, in the defense of the gospel, in the establishment of the gospel. What does it mean to defend the gospel? Right now in the world today, there are churches all around us that are changing the gospel message from grace alone, by faith alone, through Christ alone, and adding works, and adding attendance, and adding giving, or whatever it may be that will add up to equal salvation. We must defend the faith of the gospel. In Jesus alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, you are saved. And then we must partner together to establish the gospel. There are people all around us today that have never heard the gospel message. We just talked about this just a few weeks ago. It's got to be established in their life. It's established through a partnership with each other in love. Christ said they will know you are my disciples by your love. But it's established through our words as well. Our actions and our words establish the gospel message in those around us. And we do this as a partnership. There's somebody that you're wanting to share with, somebody that God has been working on you. Are you asking those around us as partners in the gospel to join you in this ministry? Or are you trying to lone ranger, partner in this gospel ministry? These were the common goals that led to their partnership. Next, how do we have this joyful partnership? There's three more. And verse 7 says this. It is right for me to think this way about all of you because I have you in my heart. And you are all partners with me in grace. Okay, we've established that. Both in my imprisonment and the defense and establishment of the gospel. So we've talked about the defense and establishment of the gospel, but the imprisonment part I want to focus on for a second. Paul was in prison here. And the church of Philippi would send people to care for him and would send goods for him to have, food for him to have, or money for him to have to take care of him while he was in prison. And so this joyful partnership, a key part of that was a care for each other. Not only did they care for Paul, but Paul cared for them by sending back teaching, by hoping to come and be with them, by going the very first time and establishing the gospel in the church, and establishing this very first church there in Europe. And so a care for each other is key for having a partnership, a joyful partnership together. And then the next key part of that is prayer for each other. Verse 4 and verse 9 both talk about prayer for each other. Verse 4 says, always praying with joy. And then in verse 9 he says, and I pray this. We pray for one another. When requests are made, do we forget them after we leave? Do we remember the church family as a whole and as individuals throughout the week? Are we willing to share our request with each other? Not so they can be talked about by all those around us, but so that they can be lifted up to God together. I want to encourage you in your life groups, openly share requests. I want to encourage you on a Sunday, openly share requests that we can lift up each other. I want to encourage you to utilize those pieces of paper that are in the back of the chairs that say prayer requests. Feel free to fill those out and put them in the offering box and we'll pray for you. Let's partner in joy through praying for each other, sharing our needs and listening to each other's needs and lifting up those needs as Paul models here for the church. And then lastly, continue on in verse 9, a growing love is key to a joyful partnership. And Paul ends with this. He says, I pray this, that your love will keep on growing. Will keep on growing how? In knowledge and in every kind of discernment. As we grow in knowledge of God, we're able then to reflect God. As we grow in knowing his love more, we're able to show more love. As we grow in knowing God's heart more, our hearts are softened to following his heart. As we grow in discernment, as Paul prays here, loving discernment, our hearts are led to a right response. Anybody need a daily dose of discernment? I do. In my words, in my actions. And as I grow in that knowledge of Christ and his response and how he lived out, my discernment and wisdom for life response grows. And as we have the growing knowledge together, growing discernment together, then our joyful partnership will grow as well. As we pursue this affection in Christ, this common goal of the gospel, this common goal of grace, as we care for each other and the needs that we're going through, as we pray for each other, willing to share and willing to listen and willing to lift each other up, and as we grow together in knowledge and discernment and love of Christ, then we can have a joyful partnership. Partnership that goes past moments and goes to ongoing gospel ministry. That's the kind of partnership I want to have always with all of you, and I hope that you want that type of partnership with me as well. This type of partnership, this amazing thing comes out of it. Verse 10 says this, so that you can approve the things that are superior and can be pure and blameless in the day of Christ. This type of partnership brings about righteousness, brings about purity, brings about blamelessness, because we understand grace. We understand the gospel. We're proclaiming the gospel to all those around us. And it produces fruit, as it says in verse 11, filled with the fruit of righteousness. And then it says it gives glory to God as it closes out. Filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus to the glory and praise of God. May our partnership together bring glory and praise to God as we pursue him. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for this example in Scripture. Lord, there are some areas here that I'm sure we could all work on, but I'll just say I can work on. Lord, this joyful partnership with this one goal, making you known in the world, coming together, being equipped to go out and proclaim. This growing affection that you have shown us, that we're now called to live out, this love for each other. Lord, that we will truly care for each other in need, that we will lift each other up in prayer. We all need that. And Lord, that we will grow in love through growing in knowledge and growing in discernment, bringing you glory and honor as we joyfully, thankfully, partner together as a church family. Lord, I pray that this will be a description of us here at RBF for your glory and your honor. Challenge us today to respond to maybe one of these areas this week and one the next week, or one today and one tomorrow. Lord, that we will follow these examples that Paul talks about so that we can truly have a partnership that we are excited about, joyful about, thankful for. We pray this in your name, Jesus.